Hello, guys, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the first sports podcast on the EerieReader.com. My name is Wes Whiteside, and I will be here with you for the next 30 minutes here just to talk to you guys about sports, because that's why we're here. More specifically, college sports. This is something new that we're doing now on EerieReader.com. I'll be bringing you a podcast once a week. On college basketball, more specifically, as it's going to be today. But I'll also be talking to you about some other sports. You know, we got the NBA starting the second half of the season. NFL just had their combine that started up this week. And baseball is getting ready to start up as spring training is starting into play. But as I said, more specifically, college basketball. And what a great weekend for college basketball as it was. A couple upsets. Also, a couple of key wins by some teams that were on the bubble and some key wins by teams who needed some wins to kind of, you know, boost their resume for college basketball. I always love this time of college basketball. This is the March Madness. And the reason why I like March, well, number one, my birthday's in March. I am a Pisces. Birthday's March 7th, right in this time of conference tournament. So that's like one of the best parts of college basketball that I like is a conference tournament. They give teams who really had no shot at the beginning of the season have their chances to play into the NCAA tournament. Things to note, 68 teams this year, had 64 last year. So something new. Definitely we're going to be playing coming into play when we go into the season at the final, at the middle of March now. Also, things can happen, as we know. Teams can come up and win in the NCAA tournament. We've seen it in the past. Lower seeds upsetting higher seeds. We've seen teams like Butler, a so-called Cinderella team, make it to the Final Four last year, make it to the championship last year, and lose to Duke on a last-second three-point shot that almost went in. So this is a time where anything can happen, and expect the unexpected, folks. And by that being said, we had the number one team who went down last night. Duke actually went to Virginia Tech and lost that game by the score of 64-60. Big game by the Hokies yesterday. They had guys who stepped up, guys who needed to play. As you know, Virginia Tech has been a team that's been on the bubble this year. Right now, they're looking at 19-8. Had Duke coming in, a number one ranked team. Duke, as you know, defending national champions. Kyle Singler, also Nolan Smith, the Plumlee brothers as well, that comes up with their team. Also Seth Curry, a guy who has started playing this year after transferring from Liberty. But the Hokies did a great job. You know, Duke is a team who can score in the backcourt, but also Virginia Tech can do that as well. And they had guys who just stepped up for them, guys who came to play. You know, and Malcolm Delaney, who is their best player, only had 11 points. But when you add in guys like you know, Jared Allen, who had 18 points last night, big 18 points for Virginia Tech, and also Terrell Bell, who had 12 points as well. Duke, Nolan Smith, Colin Singler, you know, played their games. Kyle Singler, 22 points. Nolan Smith, 18 points. Kyle Singler also had 12 rebounds as well. So those guys stepped up. Duke didn't have too many guys who came into play for him. You know, guys like Mason Plumlee, Miles Plumlee, also Seth Curry, you know, Dawkins, Andre Dawkins. Those guys didn't step up for Duke. And when you look into a tournament and you're getting to a conference tournament, also the NCAA tournament, you need other guys to make plays. And Seth Curry is one of those guys who did not last night. Only shot two shots last night. Held to a big goose egg. No points. He also fouled out as well. And, you know, as you could see, he struggled yesterday. And credit to Virginia Tech defense by just, you know, corralling Seth Curry, not giving him any open looks. Also, you know, forcing him off the three-point line. You know, the Hokies did an awesome job with that. The Hokies used a 15-4 run in a span of 4.5 minutes to turn a 6-point deficit to a 5-point lead. And, you know, when you're at home and you got the crowd behind you, you know, anything can happen. As I said and before, Virginia Tech has struggled all season. They were a team who was on the bubble, maybe get into the NIT, but those guys stepped up. Their players said, you know, this is not the night. We must win this game to get into the tournament. With this win, I think that solidifies Virginia Tech making it to the NCAA tournament. They basically have to play themselves out of the tournament. And plus with the conference tournament coming up as well. So Virginia Tech, credit to those guys. Also credit to the fans who had a great job. They stormed the court after, and you know, praise be to those students who stuck it out. Other teams who got upset. Yeah, the number 10 team in the country, Arizona Wildcats, traveled to UCLA last game in Poly Pavilion before they do construction, which was going to take about a year and a half. And man, did the Bruins lay it to the Wildcats yesterday by the score of 71-49. Basically just took Arizona out of their game. And guys like Reese Nelson for UCLA, 27 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists as well. UCLA, you know, is a team the Pac-10 has definitely been struggling this year. Only looking at about maybe 3 teams to get into the NCAA tournament. If that, the only team that we know about is Arizona. I mean, Pac-10 is definitely down this year. You know, as opposed to previous years when you had teams like UCLA, Arizona, Washington, USC. It's not the case this year. But credit UCLA who definitely stepped up and, you know, basically handed it to the number 10 team in the country. On the other end, as far as Arizona is concerned, Derek Williams, strong performance, 15 points and a solid effort by them, 7 rebounds as well. But then, you know, UCLA just played better yesterday. They just wanted it more. As I said, a game as a step builder for UCLA with Poly Pavilion closing. There's no way that they were gonna let Arizona beat them in their home court. You've got the experience of John Wooden in there. It's, you know, and people like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Walton as well. And you look at the presence of those guys, and you just want to go out there and play and give it your all and your blood, sweat, and tears, as those guys did in Poly Pavilion when they played. And that's exactly what UCLA did. On a side note, as far as John Wooden's grandson ended up getting into the game and scoring 3 points last night to actually have the last 2 points to close down Poly Pavilion. So what a scene that was. And of course the fans went nuts after he laid the ball up. So UCLA, credit them with the win. Once again, 71-49 over the number 10 team in the country, Arizona. Some other shocking teams that went down. Texas lost to Colorado by a score of 91-89. Texas has been struggling the last couple weeks here. Texas is also they've lost to Kansas State. Also, they lost to Nebraska as well. They've played 3 teams who've been on the bubble, and all three teams have beaten them. And as the time is right now, if you're Texas, who was ranked number 1 in the country last year, you have to know you're going to get the best game from every single team that you play against. And Colorado had guys who stepped up. Alec Burke, huge performance, 33 points, 10 rebounds for the Buffaloes, and which is going to be their last time they are going to play Texas unless they meet them in the Big 12 conference. As you know, Colorado is going to be moving to the Pac-10 next year. So that it was a key game for them as well. So credit the Buffaloes for beating Texas. If you're Texas is one of the teams who I actually put a star on as a team who I think could get to the Final Four. But it's all about, you know, maturity with Texas. You know, they have to have guys who step up and who have to perform better. Jacoban Brown had 21 points and a solid effort. Jordan Hamilton had 21 points as well. So once again, credit those guys for making some plays. But Texas has a lot of size. I love Tristan Thomas. I also love Jacoban Brown. I love Jordan Hamilton as well. I love Joseph as well. I like Baugh as a defensive player. Once they get guys like Wamine to come back, who was suspended for a drunk driving incident earlier this week, I think Texas is kind of a team you have to put the star on as far as you're looking for teams to make it to the Final Four. But once again, credit the Buffaloes by beating them yesterday. So Colorado ends up winning that game 91-89. Colorado's on the bubble, a team that's 18-11. Needs a little bit more work to do in the Big 12. Maybe win a game in the Big 12 if they get a chance to play a Kansas or a team that's on the bubble like Baylor or Nebraska to try to play themselves into the tournament. Another team that went down yesterday was Texas A&M, team in the Big 12 as well, playing against a Baylor team who was on the bubble. And I guess the scenario that you were looking at yesterday was teams who were either on the bubble or who needed a quality win ended up getting the job done. And Baylor is a team who definitely has underachieved this year, with making it to the Elite Eight last year, one game away. They lost to Duke last year in the tournament. And you looked at the Baylor team and you said, okay, they lose a couple of key pieces. They lose two guys on the starting five. But, you got Les'Darius Dunn coming back this year. You got Quincy Acey coming back this year. Maybe they can compete in the Big 12, because you didn't know too much about Texas. Obviously, you knew about Kansas and Kansas State. But, Baylor has definitely struggled. But in a game that they had to win, they won. They beat Texas A&M by a score of 58 to 51. Texas A&M was ranked 21 in the country. Texas A&M's solid resume, and a team who was going to get into the NCAA tournament. But credit Baylor, a team that's on the bubble. They got the job done. Guys like Chris Middleton for Texas A&M, 12 points, 10 rebounds. Definitely wasn't enough for them. But you look at Baylor. You had guys like Perry Jones, who had 16 points, 8 rebounds as well. Les'Darius Dunn, 16 points as well, who struggled, 5 for 16 shooting, not very good. But Les'Darius Dunn is a shooter. He's going to continue to shoot. You look at Quincy Acey. Quincy Acey came off the bench, 10.7 rebounds. Solid game by Quincy Acey. Made six out of 8 free throws, and that's been the struggle for Baylor. And Baylor is not a particularly great shooting free throw team, but they made their free throws down the stretch. 16 of 24 from the free throw line, 66%. So, give the Bears credit. A team who doesn't shoot free throws well definitely came down to free throws at the end of the game, and they made their free throws. So, Baylor is a team who you have to continue to watch, who is on the bubble. Once again, you got teams like Colorado, Nebraska. When you get to those conference tournaments, Baylor must win games to continue to stay off that bubble or to stay off that slide. And then probably one of the best games, that was on the college board slate yesterday, Saturday, was BYU, number 7 team in the country, had to travel to San Diego State, the number 6 team in the country. This was a game that, everybody kind of had circled after that first game, where Jimmer Fredette went off for 42 points, and you thought, what are they going to do now? What are they going to do this time? Or what's Jimmer going to do traveling to San Diego State? And what's guys like DJ Gay going to do, for San Diego State the next time they play them? But BYU is a tough team. Tough team, and they won that game yesterday by the score of 80 to 67. Handed them solidly. Jimmer Fredette, 25 points, struggled a little bit, 9 assists. You credit Jimmer Fredette by being an all-around player. When you have, you look at the 23 points that he had, but it was 23 points off of, off of a struggle. He struggled to make shots yesterday. But Jimmer Fredette, he's a guy who's going to get to the free throw line, make his free throws. If you look at his shot selection, 8 for 23, not very solid. But you look at the 9 assists that he had, 9 assists in key possessions, 9 assists when he really need to get guys open. You look like Emery, who had 13 points, Hartsack with 15 points. Abayu with 18 points for the Cougars. And you know, they had guys step up other than Jimmer Fredette. And if you're looking at a team who's gonna suppose who have, might have a chance to get a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, that's what Jimmer Fredette has to do if he wants to take his team to the Final Four and be the, you know, butler of this year. You know Jimmer Fredette is gonna score, but when you get to the tournament, things happen. They're going to start, you know, collapsing on Fredette. You're going to see box in one. You're going to see a triangle in two. You're going to see a lot of junk defenses by other teams to try to slow Jimmer Fredette down. But credit him for having 9 assists yesterday. And to the San Diego State Aztecs, hey guys, they just struggled all over the board. DJ Gay, only 6 points, did not get to the free throw line. You look at Leonard, who has also been a big scorer for him. He had 17 points. He had a solid game as well. But then you look at guys like you look at White for San Diego State, 10 points. You expect a little bit more out of him and DJ Gay as far as scoring. There's the guys who basically held the Aztecs in check the whole year, but just didn't come to play. So. You know, they're a team who's lost to BYU twice. Definitely going to get into the NCAA tournament. You know, but I think they played themselves out of receiving the number one seed. If they would have beat BYU, and then won their conference tournament, you could have been looking at them as a number one seed. Now, BYU, on the other hand, you could look at them maybe getting the number one seed with beating the Aztecs twice, have a chance to win their conference tournament and secure a number one seed for the NCAA tournament. So BYU is a scary team when you see them reach the tournament, obviously because of Jimmer Fredette. But, you know, as you saw yesterday, he had other guys who stepped up for him. Another intriguing game that was on the slate for college basketball was you had – the number 23 team in the country, St. John's, who has basically been the story of this year. Steve Lavin has totally changed the St. John's Red Storm around. They've won 19 games this year. They traveled to Villanova yesterday, number 15th ranked team in the country, and they beat Villanova, and they beat them handedly, 81-68. You had guys like Dwight Hardy, who I think is the Big East Player of the Year. You've got guys like you got the kid from Notre Dane who's definitely played well. Hansborough. You look at Austin Freeman from Georgetown. You also look at Pittsburgh has a couple of guys who can definitely be Big East Player of the Year. But Dwight Hardy on a consistent basis. Dwight Hardy, 3 30 point games this year, and definitely when they needed him. And he has made big shots for them on a consistent basis. Last week, big shot against Pittsburgh to beat Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh. Might have stepped out of bounds. Not really going to call that. The point, you count the points. But St. John's, man, have they been playing basketball this year or what? You look at the team that they have, loaded with a lot of seniors, guys who, have experience in the Big East, but just couldn't get over the hump. They just needed somebody to come in and show them how to play basketball. And that's exactly what Steve Lavin has done with this team. He has totally turned this team around. These guys play defense. They can definitely get up and score with any team in the Big East. Actually, any team in the country. You've seen them. They handed Duke a solid slap in the face, too, when Duke walked into to Madison Square Garden. But I really like St. John's. I look for St. John's to make a nice run in the Big East tournament with that crowd behind them. As you know, it is played at the Madison Square Garden, which is all those games are going to be home games for St. John's, unless they meet Syracuse, because when you look at Syracuse and St. John's, it's really kind of a half and half game because Syracuse travels very well, and there's a lot of alumni who live in the New York City area for Syracuse. But other than that, I mean, St. John's is an amazing team. I love watching those guys. I love watching, as I said, Dwight Hardy. I like watching Horn. I like watching Brownlee. I like watching Kennedy. Those guys can just get up and down the court, and they can put the ball in the basket, and they play solid defense. And then you look at Georgetown. Georgetown is a team who's they have struggled. I mean, I'm sorry, not Georgetown, but Villanova. There's a team George, I mean, Villanova had won six games straight until Pittsburgh came into Villanova, and they ended up losing to Pittsburgh. That is a game that you have to circle for Villanova is when this slide has started. They haven't looked solid ever since they lost to Pittsburgh. You look at games like DePaul. They needed guys to step up in against DePaul. The team who's only had one win in the Big East. Corey Stokes has to Corey Fisher, I'm sorry, has to knock down a three at the end of that game to send that game to overtime. He struggled again yesterday. Corey Fisher only with 2 points. But you look at Corey Stokes, who's been back since his injury, 20 points, solid game for him. Malik Wayans, 19 points, solid game for him too. But Corey Fisher is a guy who holds this team together. He makes big shots for them. He's like the Scotty Reynolds of the team last year, 2 years ago, that took this team to the Final Four. So Corey Fisher must step up in big games. So the Red Storm definitely on the move in the Big East, and definitely has been the surprise team of the year, if you ask me. They've got the best Big East player in the year, as I said, Dwight Hardy, and the coach of the year. Also with Steve Lavin as well. Some other scores from Saturday. You had Kansas State, another upset. Kansas State's knocks off Missouri by the score of 80-70. Jacob Pullen, 24 points, big game by him. The Tigers from Missouri have been struggling the last couple of games. Don't worry about it. I think Missouri is a solid team. They'll make it to the tournament. They'll win a game or two in the Big 12 tournament. I don't see them winning the Big 12 tournament. I may see them making it, maybe out of the first week, maybe into the Sweet 16 for them. I like their guard plays. I love the point guard from Missouri. I love the guys who can make shots. I love Marcus Dimon. Dimon with 22 points yesterday. Kansas State is the team who won the bubble who had the win. You had the number 18th team in the country, Vanderbilt, who beat LSU very soundly by the score of 90-69. Temple beat George Washington 57-41. You also had Kentucky with a big win over Florida, game that they needed to have. Florida had came in with a nice solid winning streak, locked up the number one seed in the SEC tournament. But nobody really wins in Rupp Arena. Credit those guys from Kentucky who stepped up. Darius Miller, 24 points for Kentucky. Then Syracuse, big win over Georgetown. Must needed, and that was a needed win for Syracuse. That win signifies six games that Syracuse has beaten teams on the road who has been ranked. So credit this the Syracuse Orange. Scoop Jardine, big game, 17 points, four rebounds for Georgetown. Senior night, senior Austin Freeman laid it all on the line, 16 points, five rebounds. Now, let's talk about games today. It was Sunday. Teams who needed to win. UConn, who has been on the slide, big win for them. Their freshman definitely stepped up. Jeremy Lamb, who has been great for them when Kimball Walker has not been scoring. Jeremy Lamb, 17 points, five rebounds as UConn Huskies beat the Bearcats from Cincinnati by the score of 67-59. Xavier beat Dayton today by the score of 66-62. Purdue all over Michigan State, the team who has definitely been struggling. Juwan Johnson, 20 points, 17 rebounds for the senior for Purdue as they beat Michigan State by 20, 67-47. Ohio State, number two team in the country, will be number one by tomorrow. A team who you look at have the opportunity to make it to the national championship this year. They handed and beat up on Indiana today by the score of 82-61. You look at Deshaun Thomas from Ohio State, 22 points of four rebounds. A game that just went final, North Carolina beat Maryland today by the score of 87-76. I like what North Carolina has been doing. I love their size up front. I love their big man. I love their guard play. I like Sarah. I really like North Carolina. North Carolina is a sleeper team in the ACC, not only in the ACC tournament, but also in the Big Ten. And I'm sorry, in the big tournament, in the NCAA tournament as well. Tyler Zeller, 25 points. Harrison Barnes, 21 points. Big game by the Tar Heels today as they knock off the Maryland Terrapins today. Big game in the Big East. You had the Pittsburgh Panthers against Louisville, who traveled to the KFC Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky. And man, what an atmosphere that game is. As you know, Kentucky is a big basketball city. I'm sorry, big basketball state. And definitely when you look at Louisville, big basketball city. That new arena that they have, it gives it a pro basketball feel, but in a college setting. And man, was that place rocking today. And the number 16 team, Louisville, beat the Panthers today by the score of 62 to 59. Big play by guys down the stretch. Peyton Siva, huge game for him as they won that game into overtime. Brad Wanamaker with a jumper to send that game into overtime for Pittsburgh, but just didn't have enough in overtime. Pittsburgh only 3 points in overtime. I was kind of sloppy in that overtime, if you ask me. Only total of 9 points in that final period in overtime. But what was funny about that game is that, Louisville had pretty much had the game, out of reach. They knocked down two, they knocked down some free throws. Then they get a steal, and Kyle Keurig dunks the ball with I think about two seconds left. Then you see a cheerleader from Louisville run on the court, grab the ball, and toss the ball in the air in excitement. He thought the game was over. Actually, the refs gave Louisville a tech. So Pittsburgh goes to the line. Ashton Gibbs knocks down two free throws for Pittsburgh. They're only down three at the time. And then there was a three-pointer that fell short for Pittsburgh at the end. And as I said, they end up losing that game to Louisville. So credit Louisville with a big win. Pittsburgh is still on top of the Big East by a game over Notre Dame right now. Louisville, third in the Big East, 2 games behind Pittsburgh with 2 games to go. Definitely setting themselves up for a double bye, and so is Pittsburgh for a double bye in the Big East tournament. So you may see these two teams play each other again in the Big East tournament. May see each other in the championship game in the Big East tournament as well. But what I liked about Louisville today, the Cardinals, Peyton Siva stepped up, as I said, 14 points. Kyle Keurig, 12 points. Preston Knowles, 8 points. They had guys who came off the bench, Mara with 11 points. And then Pittsburgh, you had Gilbert Brown, 20 points. Brad Wanamaker, 13 points. Ashton Gibbs, 14 points as well. So Pitt is a team who likes to grind it out. Louisville is a little bit more finesse. They like to try to speed up tempo, and they definitely held Pittsburgh into check. Pittsburgh likes to pound it down low. They like to crash the glass, get a lot of rebounds. But they only out rebounded Louisville by one, 37 to 36. So, credit Louisville by really hitting the boards and Rick Pitino stressing that to his team. They turned Pittsburgh over a couple of times, and that's with the press that Louisville likes to run. As you know, Rick Pitino is a guy who likes to speed up the game by using some a little light pressure, and then maybe now and then he'll go to a trap. And you saw that guys like Ashton Gibbs turn the ball over, Wanamaker turned over the ball sometimes too, with that zone trap that Louisville throws out there. So those were your games that were on the slate for this weekend. And Monday, big Monday, into the conferences here. You've got number 15 Villanova, who's going to be playing number 9 Notre Dame, which is going to be a big game for both of these teams. Notre Dame, a game behind Pittsburgh, wants to stay a game behind Pittsburgh going into the Big East tournament. Villanova, they must win a game. They need a win, a good win for them, to go into the Big East tournament with as well. Then you got Texas against Kansas State. Kansas State needs another signature win. And Texas, you got to fall off this slide here. So those are big games that I tell you to look at tomorrow, Monday, at the end of February, February 28th. Then you kick off to March, and then that's when the madness starts, folks. So continue to listen to the podcast here. I'll be back next week. My name is Wes Whiteside. Thank you for listening to the podcast on Erie. Reader.com. Please check me out on Twitter. You can follow me. My name is W Side, DubbbleUside. You can follow me on Twitter. Send me any remarks to the podcast, or send us an email to the eriereader.com. I hope you guys enjoy. I hope that I hear back from you guys next week. So thank you for listening. Once again, I'm Wes Whiteside. See you later.